so aren't you? But I'm not. And it's been a real joy to be here, Faith Baptist Church, back to be with Brother Allen and the folks there in fellowship with them and you. I appreciate I hear you praying for us. You know, riding up here yesterday, I reckon my muscles and my legs must have got tired far as they come, because they've been sore and stiff. And anyway, you say what happens, that goes along to old age, I reckon. But you know, someone told me, said here a while back, a year or so ago, and said, "Brother, ain't you getting old?" I wasn't as old as I am now. I said, "Yes, but I said, if you want to live, it beats dying young." You've been sitting a good while. If you'd like to, turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And if you'd like to stand, that'll keep you awake, maybe. And I don't want you to go to sleep. And so that'll keep you awake. My preaching may put you to sleep, but if it does all, that'll be all right. The Word of God says, this is very familiar scripture in verse 28. It said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. When he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he glorified. We not being glorified yet, we that are saved, but in the mind of God, we're just as good as that." Amen. You know, we live in the two worlds of Christian. If we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we live down here and he lives in us. Amen. But he's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're here than there. Too many times we get wrapped up for down here and don't think about the things up there. Yeah. But anyway, it says these words in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's against us, who can be for us? But I'm glad he's for us. He didn't come to destroy a man's life, but to save man's life. And it said, "For he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." That touches my heart every time I read it. That included me, the us does. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For whom shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemned it? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Father, I thank you for the singing. I thank you, Lord, that blessed our hearts and our brother, the missionary. God, I pray that you'd continue to strengthen him. And Lord, as they hold out the word of life in these countries, Lord, some of them have never heard the gospel of the grace of God like we have. I pray now for help, Lord. I know without you we can do nothing. You said that. And so, Lord, I ask you for help now. And Lord, you'd bring to mind the things you'd have me to speak that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and lift you up. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I was reading through my devotional Bible just a short while back, and I was pretty familiar with the 8th chapter of Romans. But I want you to notice a verse right here. This leapt out at me. Who shall charge anything to God's elect? And the Holy Ghost of God said, go back to it and think on it a little bit. We need to meditate upon it. Who will lay anything to the charge? Did you know something? If you and I that are saved by the grace of God, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You say, why? It's God that justifies. Yep. And so the debt has been paid. My father operated a little country store, and he bought everything back in depression. I tell folks I'm a depression kid, but I'm not depressed. And anyway, he bought about everything, folks, from the farm. He had a big ledger with names of people. they'd get credit. And then times was hard. And anyway, you know something? They'd get credit sometime, and he'd charge it. They'd come in and sell eggs, chicken, hams, and other things, butter, that they made there at their place. And then if they had 5 or 6 cents left over, brother, they'd say, just put that and credit me with it. In other words, Dad charged them, but they paid. He didn't ever lose anything but from one fella. You know, a crook could get by with a lot of things. But anyway, I thought about that. I wished I had that ledger when I moved off. It was there. My mother told my sister, and it got gone. Of all the names and of things, he bought chickens. Some of them was kind of game, and they have to crap their wings, put them out there. And he sold them and others and the eggs at different places. But anyway, he charged. He didn't have it. When he got something, he had to pay for it then. They delivered it. And the wholesalers, you paid for it when you got it. He had charged it. You have to make a profit a little bit to stay in business. And anyway, I thought about that. Who can charge anything to God's elect? All of a sudden, I realized the date the Holy Ghost said the debt's already been paid. On darkest Calvary, he paid the debt for you and I, the sin debt that we owed, a debt we could not pay. And we're adding sin unto sin every day that we live. But God, that is rich in mercy, he had mercy upon us, and brother sent his son the world to be the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And I want you to notice that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I want to speak to you tonight. That thought came to me. I'd seen on that ledger, my dad, when somebody paid and it all was there, he'd write under it and they'd put an X over it, paid in full.
Amen.
Did you realize?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to us. Yeah. We are paid for in full. Who can I believe that the Lord, brother, not only died for our sins of the past, but any present we might commit, but anything in the future? You say, well, I'm not going to sin. No, you will when you say, I'm not going to sin. Don't tell me we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We ought to want to walk close to God. We ought to want to live out here and not bring reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But who will charge anything to the charge of God's elect? Brother, it's Christ that died. And so, you know, the 8th chapter of Romans, I read and memorized one verse when I wasn't even 24 years old in the Lord. I'd gotten saved in a revival meeting. I bought a little World Bible at Galax, Virginia. The next day, I had a truck and was hauling milk into Coronation Company at that time. And I made fairly good for that time of financial thing. But I bought a little World Bible 65 years ago, and I still got it. It's worn. On the front of it, it said Holy Bible. It's about gone. And the only thing it had, it just had the chapters division. It had just a little bit of concordance and some maps. But I've got the straight stretch. 58 now is 4-lane highway. But at then, it was just a 2-lane. I waited till I got to a straight stretch, put that lid off the Bible, put my hand down, and it said, Holy Bible. I got the feeling of inward unexplainable and outward all over. Says, I'm just a babe in Christ. I'd just been born again. And you know, I got down to a place where I set off a bunch of milk can at the forks of the road a fella brought up, and I opened that Bible up, and it turned to that. I thought it was good anywhere you open it. I still believe it. And anyway, it opened up to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But there's one letter. I didn't have to take a course in theology. That one letter stood out. Three letter, now, there's therefore now. It says that right now. There's no condemnation. The condemnation's already been lifted. Yeah. And brother, I said, 24 hours ago, I was condemned. I was on the road to hell. And boy, I tell you, that just now got bigger and bigger. I had an electric two-speed truck. Some of you might not know that. A vacuum that they had could get out of gear when you switch, like from high second out there to low. But anyway, on electric, it didn't do it. I started up through there, and I was a-weeping, so I guess God let that electric two shift till it got out of gear. I got calmed down. When I got back to that place, to home that night, I milked the cows. We didn't have a bathroom in the old house, farmhouse. I was over at the kitchen sink, and I shaved. My oldest son was 4 years old at that time. I never did drink. I drank some, but I never drank in front of him. They didn't hear me cuss or anything. I was guilty of some of that, but a kid will pick up something and out there at the other. When I come in, at that eating off the truck, I happened to think about there's a wine bottle up there where 3 or 4 months later that some fellas and I drank a little wine, and I went up there and broke that thing. I happened to think there's some moonshine that was up in the loft of the granary, and I'd try to take a drink for 2 weeks before that, and I couldn't do it. I was under conviction, and brother, I poured it out, took it in, and told my wife, we'll can something beneficial in it now. And then, when I was shaving over there, my son, my wife said, what are you going to do? You've had some beer in the refrigerator. They didn't sell it everywhere like they do now. And anyway, she said, are you going to take it back? I said, I'm not going in any beer joint. She said, I hope you're not going to give it to anybody. I said, I'm not. I didn't even know this a fellow's name, named Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 2:15, woe to him puts a bottle to his neighbor's lap. But I had the Holy Spirit of God in me that told me and will guide me, and he'll still do the same. And so I said, I'm going to pour it out. Brother, I didn't have pool tab, and I opened it, and I started to pour one. And my wife looked, said, right, and I looked over at a little four-year-old boy. My oldest son, I had two children, my daughter's a baby. He looked there, and brother, he looked, the tears come out, and my mother took him when my dad died. He had filled a void in her life. He is a favorite of the 52 grandchildren she had, and we moved up there when my dad did, and later I bought the farm. But anyway, he turned that up. When he got to the last one, he looked up there and he said, Grandma, my daddy's not never going to drink anymore. I've got the spiritual, but not them the spirits. Thank God I've been drinking from a fountain from a bountiful supply. You say, why? Because who can charge anything to God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. And I want you to notice something out here in verse 33. Who shall charge anything to God's elect? It's God that justified. I tell you, it's paid in full. You say, how you know we're justified? Because God said so. And the word of the Lord tells us he's the juster and the justifier in Romans chapter 3. He tells us plainly that in the word of God that he justified us. And notice what it says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Brother, by its grace and then by the blood, redeemed means bought back. He paid for it. In the Old Testament economy, you know something, a redeemer. Out here, when it says to redeem, the word Yoel, that means God, is a redeemer. Anyway, that person did that redeemed. He had to be related. He had to be willing, and he had to have the wherewithal to pay. The Lord Jesus become related to you and I. He is the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Father, full of the grace of truth. Thank God he is related to us. Amen. And then he's the only one that could pay the price. Brother, that's what he did. He cried out in John 19:30, on the cross of Calvary, it is fitted. And not only that, he is willing to come to you and I. that we could be saved by the grace of God. That word, they tell me, some folks, man, I went to Bible school a little while, and he said that word finished in John 19:30, said it's the Greek word teletosai. It means it's done and will remain done and it's forever done. You say, well, why the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That means everlasting, not a temporal thing, but it's an eternal thing. And so who out here can lay anything? It's God. Verse 25 of Romans 3, whom also he set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, that the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. In Romans 3:26, declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the that believeth in Jesus. And Romans 5:1 said, therefore, being justified by peace, by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I had peace where I was an enemy. When I told you about opening that old World Bible, that one now, it's just about war, and I got it. I look at it, and I think of that time that I read it, and now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you say, what? Brother, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How do we have that peace to be justified? Well, Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then not only that, it says in Romans 5:1, there being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says these words, Jesus did in John 14:27. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah, that's shouting ground for me. And then in John 16:33, Jesus said, these things out here have I spoken unto you, that you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4:4-6, that we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Brother, that word careful means don't worry about it. God's in control. Hallelujah. I know right now there's times it's hard being my Christian life to believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I say, Lord, how could this be working for my good? As B.B. Caldwell used to say, when you're fighting hell by the acre and the satanic forces on every side, brother, he said, just stand. Well, I ain't got to that place right then, but I found out that soul, that everything God permitted me to go through was for the good of my own Christian life, no matter if it was tears, no matter if it was rejection or whatever. Let me tell you something. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your request known of God. And Philippians 4 said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. He's a God of peace, Hebrews 13:20. We're justified by faith in Romans 5:1, and we have peace with God then because of that. And then we've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what justification did. Who didn't lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We've been paid for in full. It's already rolled. He said it's finished. When you finish something, there's nothing else to do to it. I used to help my brother build a little bit. You know what? When they get a house, we'd contract it, build a house, and then our either belt for them. My brother would say, anything that happens in a year's time, and usually a year's time, a new home will have to have something done. You're liable to hit some paint on the wall or something else. Said a year's time, we'll make it right. But after that year was done, the warranty's out. But you know, the warrant is not out here because it said it's paid in full. It's God that justified us, and we have peace with God because we've been justified in faith. You say what? Through the redemption that's in his blood, we believe Christ died for sin on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood to redeem us, as 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but made manifest these times 65 years ago, dear over. I want you to know I didn't know that. But you say, why? Well, I didn't need to know about before the foundation of the world, but I sure did need to know about it. I need to be saved then. And I was redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and you are, whenever it's happened, a lamb without blemish, without spot, that was verily Christ slain before the foundation of the world. And you'd say, I'm a hyper-Calvinist on that. Well, God's word said it. You've got to let that take it up with you. Hallelujah. I'm glad whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, them he predestinated, them he justified. Amen. And then he go, them he justified, them he glorified. Amen. And God done it like it's already done, we're not glorified. Amen. That's enough to make a Baptist say hallelujah on a cold morning. Then not only that, you have a peace with God, and it said in verse 34, who shall condemn us? I like him. When I was in high school, you know, you had sometimes about three or four answers to a question. You better get the right one. If it didn't, you got wrong. Your grade was less. But I like him the ones where you picked out that. But right here, I like this question, and then God gives you the answer. You'd make 100 on that. You'd make A plus. You'd make E. Oh, yeah. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. And was buried and rose again from the dead and is right now making intercession to you and I. Thank God we can come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the hour of need. We sin then if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. For at 1 John 1:9, then he said in verse 7, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I always liked that song even before when I was a barefoot boy, go up there to revival, old pump organ, no electricity, lamps along the wall. And you know, they'd sing, nothing but the blood, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm glad it's an everlasting covenant of blood. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God justified. Who is he that condemn it? It's Christ that died. You say, well, I'll tell you, condemn. Well, Romans 8, it still says the same. Verse 1, there's therefore now. Now's now. How many believes now's right now? Yeah, but a minute to go. Don't you believe when tomorrow comes, if you live to see it, that it don't say the same thing to you? There's therefore now no condemnation. That's enough to get me a little excited, Michael. I can't help it. You say, well, I know. Well, yeah, I don't know. I might be emotional, but I'd rather be that way and dried up and never shed a tear and not have no joy. I don't like to be at some folks come in so sad. Brother, look on their face. I got to go to church. People talk about me if I don't. They look so sad, make an undertaker weep. If they come in, they ought to be a smile and thank God and rejoicing in the salvation. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Who is he that condemned it? It's Christ that died. Who can condemn us? You say, what then? Who can condemn us? Well, I'll tell you, Hebrews 2:9 tells us why. But we see Jesus made a little lower than angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You've got a message to take as he does, that it's whosoever will, no matter where they're at or anything else. And then Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore? And he's talking about finishing, pointing back, wherefore, to chapter 11 of them that believe God. Wherefore, seeing we're all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. Run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, the finisher of our faith. Thank God he's the author. He's the one that planned it. He's the one that's doing it. And thank God he's the one going to finish it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, he is bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone the own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of it all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us just about New Testament. For he, God the Father, made him to be sin that knew no sin, that you and I that were sinners condemned, and the wages of sin is death, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I ask you, who can condemn us when Christ said there's no condemnation? I've already paid it all.
That's right.
How can you charge anything to somebody if the debt doesn't been paid?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Good. Hallelujah.
Thank God, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
I kind of like it then. It said, another thing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, that'll drive you to the Lord if you're a Christian. Who else you got to go to? Like the psalmist said in Psalm 73, whom do I have in heaven but thee? There's none on earth I desire beside you. You just got to go to him. And that makes it, who out here that condemn us in verse 34. And then who shall separate us in verses 5 to 38? Nothing. It tells us to be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. How in the world can you be separated from somebody that's in you and you're in them? I'll tell you, Hebrews 13:5 said, for he has said, and what he has said, brother, you can take it to the bank and depend upon it. I mean, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Old Dr. Reuben Field, a black preacher, he is a preaching on help, Lord. And he said, we're like a bunch of, out here, hitchhikers. Said, well, a hitchhiker is throwing out his thumb. He don't have the wherewithal to pay. And said, if somebody picks him up, he's a-riding on their gas and in their automobile. Said, if that person's kind enough to buy him a sandwich, they're probably getting the bread off of him. And maybe a bottle of pop. He said, they'd do it. He said, when I was a boy, and said, I was a-playing, and said, my sister, she liked to boss me. She's a little older. And he said, I was throwing a ball up on the house. And my sister come out and said, Reuben, dinner's ready. So I didn't pay attention to her. I throwed the ball on up. She come out, said, stamped her foot a time or two. Reuben, you hear me? I told you dinner's ready. Said I didn't pay no attention to her. Said she come out and right calm said, Reuben, mama say, come in here right now. He said, I throwed that ball up her and caught it and I went in there. Said sister, didn't matter what she say. But when mama say it makes a difference. Don't matter what the world say. Thank God, God says it makes a difference.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Who shall separate us? Hallelujah. You know, Romans 8 starts out with no condemnation, ends with no separation, and right in the middle of it, brother, that's a get you time, it says there's no limitation. Romans 8:18, for I reckon, that's an accountant word. If you bounce a checkbook, you reckon. Then out here to others, somebody says so much, you got to pay, you reckon. You can put it on a credit card, but you have to pay the fare. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worth it to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Yeah. For the earnest, that word earnest means a warranty or a guarantee. For the earnest expectation of the sons of God waited for the manifestation of God's Son. I'm going to tell you, we got a warranty. Brother, it's wrote in boxcar letter. It's through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Who can charge anything to God's elect? What's a waiting for? I reckon, brother, you stop and think about it. It's nothing about of what the Lord has done for us. You say what's ahead of us. We got promise of a glorified body. He said, listen, in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or citizenship in heaven from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God's word tells us, after our plane, he's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. I believe that's in Philippians 3:20. But anyway, you know something? He said, who can I reckon to suffer to this present time? No matter what you have to go through, suffered pain in body, brother, weeping may endure for a night, but the joy come another. You wait and see, brother, the glory that shall be revealed in us. We bore the image of the herdsman. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see, as Isaiah 33:17, the king in his beauty. We're going to be like him. Can you imagine that? I mean, my mind's not even grasping that. But glory to God, I believe it. As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of man, the things, not just the thing, the things, that's a whole lot of them, that God has prepared for them that love him. I'm glad the debt's been paid in full for you. And sinner, if you're lost without God, if you'll come to Jesus tonight, the blood, you can be saved, regenerated, born again, and call on the Lord. He said, John 6:37, all, that means everybody, the Father giveth me, will come to me. And if you come to him, he won't no wise turn you out. The blood of Jesus Christ, no vile, no matter how vile, no matter how vulgar you are, I want to tell you right now, God can save you. In 1960, when I was pastor in the first church, there's a man, we had cottage prayer meetings. People got saved in the house. This man's wife got saved. That man, when you shook hands with him, it felt like I'd worked in a funeral home a little. And there's more feeling if somebody had warmth still in their body in that man's hands. I come to find out that back there at that time, that man and a friend of his were making moonshine whiskey. I don't know what his accident or purpose of them drinking, but somehow another deacon told me later, he said he shot right here with a shotgun. That deacon told me that I had, he said, right, and I don't never sort of see something like that again. He said that man, maybe if a doctor, they could have what they have now, but no phone, not nothing. And he said, this man, I put my jacket under his head that was shot. And when he had breathed, said his blood bubbles just like you'd blow soap bubbles. And that man, I talked to him. He let us have that cottage prayer meeting. He come out there and followed me on the porch, Brother Allen. He said, I can't be saved. I'd give anything. I took a man's life. No murder can have eternal life. I told him about Apostle Paul went up there in 1960. It was snowing that day. I told him about him being a sentry that they laid Stephen's clothes out there at the feet of the Apostle Paul. Paul said he did it inwardly and in unbelief. I said, God, what about that? I said, there's a man there hung with on the cross of Calvary. One of them was saved and the other one was lost. Brother, it said they committed murder and insurrection. But I tell you, God can forgive a murderer. He can forgive adulterers. He can forgive thieves. He can forgive liars. He can do whatever. Brother, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses all sin and you can be saved. Boy, it's snowing. That man, I said, Joe, that is his name. I said, look right here in the Word of God. Boy, he knelt down, laid his hand on God's promises, and asked God to save him. Guess what? He done it. Brother Allen, he reached and got me by the hand, and that lifeless hand, let me shake your hand. Does that feel like a handshake? All right, but after he called on the Lord to save, he got me and said, I'm saved. He just hung on, didn't want to turn me loose. You say, why? Brother, he might have took a life, but God gave his life for him. Amen. On the darkest Calvary. He wouldn't join the church. His brother-in-law brought him. He spent 21 years in prison for second-degree murder. His brother-in-law brought him to church. He sat on the third pew. He'd just take it in. I said, Joe, you need to go in church baptized. He said, Rayton, I just can't. I said, why? He said, if I come up, everybody would say, look, I said, that's the devil accusing you. I said, God forgive you for Christ's sake, and you need to. Brother, he got saved by the grace of God. And I want you to know the blood of Jesus, God's Son, can still cleanse from all sin. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect and it's done been paid in full? Amen. Father, I thank you that the debt's been paid. Amen. You finished it. And Lord, you made the way. You're the door. And by you, if any man enter in, they shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by you. I pray if there's someone here tonight, that Lord, they'll look at that door that's open. And Lord, and they'll hear the voice of the Lord by the Spirit. And come and be saved by God's amazing grace. If some child of God right now, maybe it's give place to the devil and sin. The devil told them they're not even a Christian. God, you said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, Lord, right now as we stand, and Lord, there may be a lost person here, some child of God, Lord, that's went astray. I pray they'll come. Is there someone heads bowed, eyes closed while they pray? Lift that hand, pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I won't come to you, but I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you, and others can come right now, anywhere, anybody.